I'm fighting for content creators that I love, who I believe are wonderful voices of for our generation and for their generation.
All right, Reem, another season, another day, another episode. Hello. What's up?
We're not dead. Listen, OT, how do you feel about failing in public? You know how these kids are telling me we should fail in public. You should be failing on Instagram.
I hate it.
Publicly.
I hate it. I hate every moment of it. What are you talking about failing in public? Like,
well, no,
listen, this is like showing our age, right? Like, we're the era of Biggie's 10 Crack Commandments. Like,
that's true.
We, you know, we ain't about showing our work publicly like that. It's not a math homework. So, well, I've been on the fence about it. I tried to play, but I realized I cannot play the way we're being told to play. I cannot.
Well, like, how are we?
I realized.
It's not about
failing publicly. It's about the formulaic nature of, oh, if you want to succeed in this space, this is how you should create your content. I'm not against it. I completely get it. I agree. It should exist because for people, that's their bread and butter, right? Whether you're a content creator or you work for an office that makes content, whatever your role is, everybody has their own personal brands that they're working on out there. They've got their own side hustles, their own things. So, like, I understand. We learn the formulas to adapt to the technology, to create content, to be able to reach a wider audience. I support all that. Now, for me, I feel like there are some things that can be shared and many things that cannot be shared. And part of that, especially when it comes to business and when it comes to the work we've been doing, I don't want to just feed into the algorithm for the sake of feeding in. I think I want to create the content for the sense of documentation and to some degree thinking out loud and in a room of people that have some understanding of what it is that we're trying to share, can empathize with it, can debate it, can have constructive feedback, can have points that there's some sense of growth here, as opposed to just feeding into the noise and the void that is out there, you know? It's about being more intentional and tactical with how it's done and how it's produced and what kind of content is put out there and at what capacity and what rate. So I understand the rules and I respect their existence, but like now I think I'm at a point where I'm not creating for the algorithm's sake. So I'm not worried about it has to be weekly consistency. The only reason I'm willing to put in the consistency there is because I'm a person of discipline. The same way I know non-negotiable, I am training 5 days a week in the morning. This is non-negotiable, right? It's being put in at a weekly basis for consistency's discipline's sake and not because that's what the system requires, right? And it's not about me putting out social media content necessarily. I feel like this long form content has always been right for us because it allowed us the space to ideate and think and debate and see where we stand on it and how, you know, and we grew throughout it. We documented different phases of our journeys as we've been growing. So I think it does give you a window into who we are and a window into what we're, at the very least, what we've been trying to accomplish at every stage. And now this is a new stage. It's a new journey. We're at a completely different headspace. And part of that now sharing that with the world is also sharing it with the right audiences, the right way. And I think we could just dictate what works for us because our days are packed. And unless, you know, we choose to hire a full production team to put behind us, which we're not putting that.
I'm going
to
be honest.
That's not for us.
I know, but I also just don't think that the world needs another podcast, honestly. I think if you've already made it, great, but I don't think the world, I've kind of fallen out of love with so many of the podcasts. I'm not excited. There's too much noise and I'm worried about contributing to that noise. So I feel I don't mind failing in public. I think there's a lot. I do learn a lot from people who do. But what I'm worried about, and I'll say this honestly, is that a lot, there's a lot of like just garbage talk. And I don't want to be a part of that. Like, I would like to be, as we always try to do, to contribute something valuable. You know what I mean? And I know that value is very much in the ear of the listener, if you will. But yeah. Still, I just don't want to be a part of that.
I agree to some sense, but I also, like, I'm not worried about that, because what I'd like to be able to do with the show now is just release them to the podcast ether as we've done before. So I'm not feeding into, like, we have to have video content, or we have to have something specific that goes with it, that markets it. You know, we might not do that. I'm okay either way.
Yeah.
As long as, like, you know, the piece has been put out there, the right audience, which I believe, because we already have a subscription base, we already have a followership with people that have been listening to us for years, that also have grown with us over time, who then, if they choose to speak about it and share with their people, then you've had a positive point of impact that you've contributed, right? But
yeah,
I'm not seeking the algorithmic sense of doing the work.
Yeah, I agree. Let's see how it goes. I mean, again, I just don't want to be more noise. That's all. Like, I feel there are so many different places where I get, like, information that truly makes me optimal and changes the way that I operate in the world for the better. Let's see how it goes, I guess.
Yeah, because I've fallen out of love with a lot of it too. Like, there's a point where I realized, like, I'm listening to way too many people philosophize about too many things, whether in politics or science and in business, that I stopped listening to them for an extended period of time as well. So I think, and maybe that was also reflected in us taking all this time away, to see that if it's worth putting out to the airwaves, we'll put it out. If not, we'll hold back. And
let's see.
That's part of this new journey. So this is where we are. How do you feel about failing publicly, Reem?
I don't mind it too much. I think that I feel that in the process of becoming a better athlete, in the process of becoming a better business person, I have found that watching other people fail in public has given me that sense of, like, okay, you just have to do things, right? But what I don't believe is valuable is when people are just they're making false starts to create content. That's a waste of time for me, because there's no actual true learning other than to garner traction online. And I've come to the true realization that everything that is truly valuable happens offline and in person. So for me, this is really everything that's valuable to me. Everything that's truly valuable to me happens offline and in person. So I believe that failing online, or failing in public, as we say, I think that's much more of like sharing the journey and treating your journey much more like a documentation of what's going on, especially if you're neurodivergent. For a lot of people, I've noticed this. They just, like, I use my TikTok and my Instagram as a way to document things that I might need later. You know, all the things I say, I'm not saying them for other people. I'm saying them because I need them later. I might need them at some point. I might need that advice.
But that's also what journaling is, right? Or that's historically, people kept diaries and, you know, fishermen and sea captains. It's the same practice, right?
I mean, you're keeping fishermen, diary sea captains and
journaling, right?
So
we've had this throughout history. Like, this is how history has been told in various formats. So you've just picked a different medium to express that same thing of you're documenting these key moments, right? So in that same way, this is the medium that I've chosen, that I thought I felt better telling the story on, right? Because just the TikToks and the Instagram universe in this space, I'm still not comfortable there yet. I don't know why. It's just been, because I think to the point that there's been just too much noise. And like, this constant thing that holds me back is, am I contributing to the noise, or do I have something of value to add?
Yeah. And I think, like, in the podcast space, there's less noise. There's definitely less noise. But the video format on TikTok, that podcasting format, I think the problem is visually, it's all the same. So you're really confined to the same visual structure. And I don't find that very entertaining too long. So I'm really trying to stay. I'm fighting for content creators that I love, who I believe are wonderful voices of for our generation and for their generations. But I'm struggling at times to keep my attention because it's all monotonous. And that's not to say we're this is not monotonous. I'm just saying, like, I think audio gives us the room to do that with a little more freedom. I question whether long form is the way to go. I question whether long form conversation is the way to go. I just don't think people have the bandwidth for it anymore, honestly.
So this is the part that I've been challenged by, because the question of long form, like, for me, context matters, right? Long form in spaces where long form exists is okay. Meaning, you'll sit in the cinema and watch a film, right? You'll sit and watch a TV show, even though you're busy, distracted. In some cases, you're either double screening or whatever, right? You have other distractions around, but at the very least, you've committed. I'm sitting and watching this for the next hour, right? So I think in that same practice, it's just context of where that and how that is being consumed. I think your 20-minute mark still makes sense to me, right? Your 25-minute marks, the half an hour still makes sense. The three-hour ones, like, you have to be creating
remarkable
bangers, like bangers after bangers after bangers every minute to keep me for 3 hours, to want me to stay in the car for an extra 10 minutes to listen. Like, and then every time I'm back in the car, I'm doing an activity, I'm still playing this thing. Like, That's a hard mountain to climb.
That's a tall order, right? I no longer listen to a podcast that's over 40 minutes. That's just who I am now. I no longer have that. I no longer have that. Not only the stamina, I don't find anything that interesting, and I find AI far more interesting. So I think it's also my interests have shifted. So, like, where I am now in my content consumption career, if you will, I know I'm so interested in AI, but at the same time, when you deal with anything in AI, you're dealing with an avalanche of information. It's not just a little bit. You're dealing now with, whereas before you had, let's just say you had a lake, now you have a tsunami, right? And how we sift through that information so we figure out what's real, what's hallucinatory, what's exciting, what's valuable. This is already a process that I'm doing almost every day now because of the work. And so I no longer have time for 3 hour long form conversations. It is not correct what I find interesting in the world of podcasts. With all the tools that I know exist, I'm looking for the highest level of critical thought and creativity. Because now all of the grunt work and groundwork can be done by a machine. You know what I mean?
Correct.
Like, you no longer have the excuse that you can't do the groundwork, the research. No, that's no longer an excuse. If you have a phone, you can make this work. So my demand for creatives to rise, to be creative, to have more deeper and more meaningful conversations, my expectations are very high. And none of the 3 hour ones are meeting that in any, like, by, they're missing it by a mile, actually.
Yeah. I think one, you're clearly, you're in a very specific place in your journey of what you choose to consume, right? Which makes total sense. Like, that's where you're focusing whatever availability you have is intentional and specific, right?
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
Totally makes sense. So then, obviously, that means the presumption is in the work we do, we're speaking to people coming with the intention to hear what we would have to say. So in this next phase, who are your listeners and your viewers on the Can Show, on Instagram, on TikTok, whatever? Like, who are you attempting to speak to?
Who are we addressing? Well, the episode 200 of the Dukan Show with Her Highness.
We interrupt this episode because I have to correct a mistake I made. I said Her Highness, but who I actually meant is Her Excellency Noor Al-Kaabi.
Edward Said, in his book Orientalism in 1978, starts with a question: what one really is? I think there has to be a depth. And that depth doesn't come quickly. And I think this is the question we need to ask ourselves. Noura, who you really is? I mean, who are you?
The Ken started as trying to help third culture kids find home. But I think the new iteration after our 200th episode given to us by Her Excellency is obviously, who are you? What are you made of? Where do you come from? That's the next evolution of what Dukan should be doing.
Having this platform is so important. A voice is important. And thank you for providing a voice to, let's say, me, but others as well. So that's not a small role. That's a very important one. So thank you very much.
At the time of the recording of our 200th podcast episode was the Minister of Culture and Youth. And today she is a Minister of State with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And in that episode, she gave us one directive. She said that we have already established that home is where your 2 feet are planted. But our mandate, our purpose now is to show the world who are we. To own the narrative and to not have the narrative be given to us, but instead state who we are and show the world who that is unapologetically. And if it is rooted in all things that we love as Arabs, then fundamentally and inherently it will be good and it will foster greatness.
That episode changed so much for me because you can see a clear trajectory from that point of my career where I am clear-headed about who I am speaking to and why I'm speaking to them, not just through the work in Dukan, but all my platforms, every interaction that I have in public, every interaction that I try to have in private outside of my family and like close friends, anything to do with the work of culture and the work of data and market research answers the question, who are we? And how do we showcase who we are? So the target demographic, I feel, the audience that I speak to are people who want to truly understand the people of the Middle East. We are from the Middle East to the world. And until today, to this day, to whatever day it is, April 8, 2025.
The recording, still, as of the recording of this, yeah.
I drove in the UAE, and I still saw a lack of representation of Arab women in a way that like celebrates and truly honors who we are. So the work is cut out for me. Anyway.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah, we could talk about it. Okay. All right. So this morning I was driving to the gym, and on my way to the gym, there is a billboard that I've passed 7 times now because it's been up for a week. Massive billboard. It takes you like 30 seconds to drive by. It's massive. And it's for a very well-known property developer, and they're selling a property, they're selling paradise, whatever. And at the forefront, what you see on this ad, the ad works. I know exactly, I don't see a building. I know exactly what they're selling, right? So the ad works. But here's my issue with it. So you drive by, and you see a beach, you see the beach, right? And then you see a prominent celebrity figure in the middle, an American celebrity who arguably we know and love. Like I love this guy. So that's cool. But right behind him, you see an Emirati man holding some sports gear. And next to him, you see a Caucasian lady in not an abaya. An abaya is a very specific traditional outfit. But she's wearing a kaftan that mimics an abaya. And they're walking together and they're about to do some sports. And I looked at this ad, I would say 7 times, actually now 14 times, because I drive past it twice a day. And I said, where is the Arab woman? Where did she go? Why is she not represented in this large billboard? I go on the company website looking for the Arab woman. She is not there. If there is a representation of us, it is an ethnically ambiguous woman who's supposed to represent multiple cultures or nationalities or whatever. And I think what bothers me is 2 things. Number one, we do customer profiling for a living, right? Like we do customer profiling for large brands and large and government entities. I find it hard to believe that whoever did their customer profiling eliminated the Arab Emirati woman. I find it very hard to believe that you're selling a property in the UAE and she's not a part of the customer profile.
For sure.
I'm going to say, based on the work that we do, I believe that she was presented to them. Now, where from the strategy to the creative to finally the whoever approved this ad, when she was eliminated, because she was, why didn't we say anything? Why didn't we fight for her? Why didn't we argue for her to be showcased? And why is it okay? Like, if we're talking about community, this is the year of community, and we're talking about tolerance. Tolerance is also about representation, right? And I'm not saying every Arab woman should be represented in this ad. I'm saying I want to see in the country that I live in, if there's an Emirati man, I want to see an Emirati woman, because that's only fair. And for the property and where it is and what they're selling, arguably, it's the women who are making the decision to buy that property. Like, arguably, it's actually Emirati women who will be actually making the decision to buy that property. It is family-based. It is where it's, like, located. There's just so much about it that I felt. I understand it's quirky. The ad is quirky and interesting. But when we are doing representation, we need to represent the Arab woman in the Arab world where she belongs. And if her absence is louder to me than what the ad says. And I believe I'm not the only one who feels this way. So if we're talking about what Her Highness was telling us, who are we? We are advocates for the world that we live in, right? And I believe that she, the Emirati Arab woman, would love to be represented on this ad, because I believe that she would love to be a part of this property. You know what I mean? She would love to be a part of this world,
right?
Especially if the Emirati man is there playing sport, you know? So I find it very interesting that we can't say, oh, this is old troubles. No, today I have this issue. And I'm not saying, again, I'm not critiquing the creative. The ad works. I saw it. I know what they're selling. I'm saddened. I'm hoping that they can correct it in their, you know, the website can be corrected, the billboard cannot. But I'm hoping in the ads that come out online and whatever, that we correct it to showcase, you know, who she is, because she deserves to be showcased. And I hope that when she gets eliminated or silenced, that someone in the room advocates for her, that someone says, where is she? Why isn't she represented? It's weird that she's not here.
Yeah.
It has to be weird that she's not there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's right. The work.
Because as you're speaking, because as people who've done this work in the industry before, like as you're speaking, I'm like, cool. It's definitely there in the data. If you look, I'm sure if you look at household
sales
data.
There's no way she's not in the data.
She's in the data, right? So sure. The Emirati woman is definitely accounted for in that, in the numbers, right? And then some strategist somewhere, presuming that this job is done in the standard flow of things, has gone through the data, gone through the research, developed insights in a strategic direction that the creative team took and ran with. And obviously there's a celebrity face. So, you know, you want to maximize every dollar you've spent.
Yeah,
right?
But a great choice of celebrity face.
I'm not critiquing. I have no criticism against that. I have no criticism either way. But I understand the decision making in the room is when you have a celebrity, you want to get every dime's worth of what you're paying that celebrity because they're not cheap, right? So obviously they're going to be front and center of this entire campaign. And then there's also the selection of, okay, the extras, right? Because technically your hero is a celebrity. Everybody else is an extra in this campaign.
Everyone else is an extra.
From a visual lens. But then to your point, the right way to do it is the extras need to represent what the data shows.
The people of the nation. The people
and
of
that
the
has gone missing to some degree, but also on top of that, it's the people of the nation, to your point, right? Like, and in that sense, there's a partial representation, but not a complete representation because the Emirati woman is not there. So,
yes, understandably, and I know that. And so, just to be clear, what makes him an Emirati man.
Somebody should have argued for that in the room.
Yes. And what makes him an Emirati man and not a Saudi man or not a Khaliji man is specifically the way he's dressed. He is dressed specifically as an Emirati man. So if we went through the effort of being culturally correct with this gentleman, then the female should not be culturally ambiguous. There should be proudly an Emirati woman there. And I'm not Emirati, but I just feel like something's at foot, guys. It should just be balanced out. And it can be corrected. That's the thing. The billboard may not be able to be corrected. Respectfully, that's locked ages ago. But you've got online campaigns, you've got, there's so much that can be corrected. And the ad is Photoshop together. You can Photoshop, you can fix this. You know what I mean? Like, this can be fixed. So that's, you're right, in the flow of things. So I don't want to point fingers because I don't know. But all I know is that this needs to, if we're talking about representation of the Arab woman and we say we celebrate her, then let's celebrate her in her home.
And if it was unintentionally overlooked, then the question becomes, how do we make sure that doesn't happen again, right? Because that means clearly maybe in the team there's been a lack of awareness, and a cultural understanding. So I'll give it that benefit of the doubt, but that means the mandate should be to understand, to study those, to get educated in it, and increasing that awareness is necessary.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's very important, if you didn't do a demographic study where you didn't speak to the people who are potential buyers, you didn't do, you know, your homework and actually really looked at who are we speaking to, then that's a customer profiling problem that can be fixed. That's something that can. Yeah. Everything at this point can be fixed. Like, none of it's broken.
It's avoidable.
It's all fixable.
It's all fixable and it was avoidable and it's fixable, right? Like, that's
absolutely.
In both cases.
And I think for me, her absence speaks so much louder to me. And I want that to be the standard. She should never be absent comfortably. She should always be, her presence should make us comfortable because she deserves, that's where she deserves to be in an equal space, right? So yeah, and I the work is working. We'll figure it out. I'm going to make a TikTok video about it because it's worth talking about. But this also means, you know, I hope that brands will take more responsibility for representing, like, for speaking properly to the people that they are targeting. You know what I mean? Especially now when the whole world is flocking here, people from all over the world are coming. I would love to be able to showcase that, you know, this, the Arab woman is, I want to show you the Arab woman, how beautiful, dynamic, and, you know, varied we are, you know.
There you go.
Yeah.
And with that, I think this is a good place to bring this episode to an end. We have a lot of fun, a lot of interesting other things we'll be discussing in the next coming episodes. So stay tuned and we'll see you in the next one.
Bye. Peace. Set up.